Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, May 18th. Today's Danny's birthday, and she's not here, not because of her birthday, but because she's actually found something to do.
She's hungover.
Yeah. So.
God bless you, Danny.
So, obviously, this is not Danny's voice. Today, I'm joined by Jim Christina, who's a good friend, and he agreed to come and join me because he loves radio.
I do.
You like to talk, and we love that. That's why you come to talk.
Talk radio.
This business. I mean, in this building.
Well, yeah, come here to talk. That's what we do here.
Yeah. So, Jim, you have a couple shows now.
I do.
On the station.
Count them.
Yeah. So he's taking over the station pretty much on Thursday. So tell us a little bit about your shows. You have Writer's Block, which is the one you started first.
The Writer's Block we started first 3 years ago, and it's we talk to writers and poets and songwriters. And
so you have to read a book a week.
I read a book a week, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What about other stuff? Do you have time to read that too?
Well, yeah, I have to, and then I'm also a writer, so I try to find time to write as well.
To actually produce something.
Yeah, and I try to get ahead a week so I can do some writing on my own. Doesn't always work, but
no, huh?
Sometimes the books are like they're okay, but they're really hard to read.
Yeah. Tell me something. Do you feel you have to write? Is it something that you feel you still have to do?
Yeah, it compels me. I have to do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you get ideas in your head.
I have stories rolling around all the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You see, not everybody's like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you were meant to be a storyteller,
apparently.
Yeah,
and a radio host.
And you got a lot of stories to tell, right?
I do, actually. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then the other show is
KWTF Radio.
KWTF. If you don't know what WTF is,
it means
what the fuck.
What the fuck.
We can say here.
And and that show is it's a promise to truth about whatever we talk about. We don't pull punches. We're not politically correct.
Good.
We talk about anything and everything that we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's cool. Because you get a forum to actually amplify what you think, what you have to say,
right.
You know?
Right.
And that's really cool because we couldn't always do that, you know?
Right.
When I started the station, I'd wanted a radio show for many years before. But I always thought, how am I going to get one? You know, I mean, yeah, you can't compete with the big ones that have millions of listeners, you know? So who the hell's going to hire you? So then the idea came of like, maybe I'll start my own. And it started working. And after a while, a lot of people joined. And now we have a forum where we can actually talk.
Right.
We don't have to be Howard Stern or Bill Handel, whatever, all these big ones, Sean Hannity and, you know.
Last night I laid a big one on Sean Hannity.
Really?
I did. I said, Sean, if you're listening, if Rush Limbaugh says you're an asshole, you're pretty much an asshole.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll get into more serious conversation in just a moment. We have a guest here, a returning guest and a fascinating guest. I just wanted to ask you, Jim, you have a lot of stories, right?
I do.
And you were in the Vietnam War.
I was.
And you were a helicopter pilot.
Not in the war.
Oh, not in the war.
No, after.
After the war. Yeah. So what did you do in the war? Were you combat?
I was a grunt.
What's
in
that?
Vietnam, infantryman.
Oh, so that's like out there in the front lines.
Carried a radio.
Combat.
I carried a radio.
That's right. You were a communications.
I was RTO, radio telephone operator.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was tough, huh?
It's a target.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And Jim's got stories, but he's also got stories he doesn't want to tell, and we don't blame him.
A whole bunch of them.
It seems like everybody that's been to that war, or to any war, really. I mean, who was it that said war is hell? Churchill?
I don't know. Everybody says war is hell. I mean, the guy's coming back from Vietnam.
But someone said it who was famous. But, yeah, you it leaves a mark on you. Huh?
Well, I mean, you're mostly when you're sent to combat or you're in the armed forces and you go someplace to deploy, you're usually within late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
And you're not nothing is completely formed in your brain yet.
Right.
You still and so that is the one defining thing that you have in your life for that 1 year time is so combat.
It shapes you.
It does. It puts like a big black mark right through the middle of your brain.
Right. Wow.
It's really hard to erase it.
Yeah. Wow.
And it never goes away. It never goes away.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine. Well, we're going to bring in the conversation, and we can continue talking about fighting and stuff, because we have an Israeli who I think was in the Israeli army. I'm not sure, but we do have Ilan Azulay. Welcome to the show, Ilan.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for coming back.
Sure.
Yeah, you see, he loves his voice on the microphone.
I know.
So he always like whispers and stuff.
He's
trying to make the voice of God.
What's there a microphone for?
Well,
so he can whisper to
I'm
it.
Telling you, Ilan, you give me the tingles.
Oh. I tingle you.
Your voice. Oh. You tingle me. And you make bowls.
Yeah. You can't hear yourself.
Turn it up a little bit. Is this better?
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, you have a very deep voice.
Yeah, he does. So do you.
Well, yeah, but when I was in high school and college, I took theater.
Right.
And my drama teacher used to sit in the back of the theater and scream. If he couldn't hear you, he'd yell, project.
Yeah.
So now everybody tells me I talk too loud.
No, I said low, not loud.
Well, that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's low, yeah.
Yeah. But loud is okay. Some people are loud. They have to express themselves. Ilan, would you agree with me that many Israelis are like loud, right?
Yeah, it's very loud culture. Very loud culture.
It's a stereotype, almost like Italians. That's probably why you're loud, because you're Italian.
You're probably loud because you're Jewish.
Like that. Probably.
Okay.
Because I'm Israeli.
You know, there's only one pair of underwear between a Jewish mother and an Italian mother.
Really?
That's it. They're all the same.
I don't want to be there.
Yeah, don't go there.
I mean, they all tell us don't go out with holes in your underwear because if you get in an accident,
right?
You know, they're going to see that I'm not a good mother.
So, Ilan, where are your parents from? What's your origin?
My parents are from Morocco.
Morocco,
both of them.
Really?
Casablanca, yeah.
Yeah, did they meet there and move to Israel? Or
they kind of knew one another. The families knew one another there, but it really manifested in Israel.
Oh, wow, very cool.
Yeah.
So, do you have any siblings, any brothers, sisters?
Yeah, we're five. We're three brothers and two sisters. Number four.
That's a big family. That's
same as me.
Really?
Yeah, three brothers,
Italians,
two sisters.
Italians.
Yeah,
they're
Catholic.
Yeah.
They hump like bunnies.
Yeah. Big families. Did you guys feel that you had to fight to stand out?
I'll tell you what, I was 13 before I realized that fried bread wasn't meat.
You know, the thing is, in Israel, as far as what I remember, but the culture there is, there you don't get anything if you don't bang on the table, meaning if you don't make a mess and you don't make a fuss,
gotcha.
Right.
You don't get anything. I don't know about how true it is today, but I remember that's how it was when I grew up.
When you were there,
Well, it was always, the father got first pick of everything.
Yeah. That's true.
And mother was always the last one because she never sat down during the whole meal. She was up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, but the mom is really who's running the show.
Always. Always.
See? Moroccan mothers too.
This is what I tell the people I work with. When your wife is right, she's right. When she's wrong, she's right.
She's still right, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know
like
mine,
say,
so.
Yeah. Like they say, behind every successful man, there's a woman who makes it necessary, you know?
Right.
So
behind every successful man, there is
no,
a strong
behind
woman.
Every successful man, there's a woman who stands there with a brick.
Oh, well.
You nasty. So.
Well, Sam knows my wife. In fact, we were in here last night, actually in this very studio, just before we started our other show. Sam asked me if I wanted to come in and co-host for him because Danny's going to be off. And I said, sure. And then he looks at my wife, Jerry, and he goes, is it okay?
Yeah. That's true, I did. Because she gave me kind of a look. I thought she gave me a look.
And she says, I don't care what he does.
Yeah. There you go. He's got such a cool wife. How long have you guys been married, Jim?
15 years, almost 16 years.
15 years. Good Were you deal. Married before that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Let's not go through them.
Well, what about you, Ilan? Have you been married?
Yes, I've been married.
And you're not anymore?
No, I'm not anymore now.
Right. So pretty much like me, you know, same situation. We have very similar backgrounds. We both grew up in Israel, came here young, you know, been married. You were married to an American woman?
That too.
Yeah, you see, I was too.
Probably a bad choice on your part, huh?
No, I don't see things as bad choices. It's just that's where I was at that time.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
There's no...
Yeah. Did you go to the army in Israel?
I was engaged.
You were engaged?
Army, yeah.
Okay. That means he was.
I got that. Yeah. Yeah. I well, was engaged several times.
I actually did not go because I left at 16.
Right.
And there you get drafted at 18. And then once I was here, I was afraid to go back because everybody said, well, once you come back here, they'll grab you for the army. And I thought, but I already am starting to build a life over here, you know. So for many years, I didn't go back until Begin came to power. And he decided, well, maybe we should give these kids a chance to come first, see if they want to stay here. And if they don't, we're not going to grab them, you know. So that was the case. So then I actually went. But it was very tough before that. And still, to this day, if you don't serve in the military in Israel, you're pretty much fucked in the career world.
In Israel.
Isn't it compulsory in Israel that you have to serve?
Yeah. It is, but sometimes people come up with excuses, right? They protest, whatever, or they just say, I'm too sick, I'm suicidal, I'm this, I'm that. And
yeah, the stories that they, you know,
they come up with a lot of stories.
If you want to get out of here, do something to hurt yourself. You know, people who go to play to extents of hurting themselves, and
we had some people in Vietnam shoot themselves in the foot or in the leg.
Really?
That's a lifetime damage that you.
But that's anywhere, and that's all the time. That's not just That's not just Israel. That's
right,
everywhere.
Right. So that's how human beings, I guess, respond to this kind of thing.
If you're a conscientious objector, I can't see yourself shooting yourself in the foot to get out of the army. But, I mean, there's other ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you never know until you're being pushed to a corner.
Right? Yeah.
That's true.
You never know how you're going to react, because that's really who you are.
Right.
Well, it's kind of like...
When you don't have time to think, right?
It's kind of like getting out of jury duty. Yeah. You know? Now you can't... Got to really lie to get out of jury duty.
That's
otherwise,
true.
You're going.
You know that I've never been to one, and I've been invited a million times. Somehow I never went, and nothing happened.
I was once. Yeah, I was invited to jury duty. Yeah,
I would imagine. Actually, I was invited once, and it never happened. But they let us go after half a day. But it does happen that people go there a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably like sometimes it's probably interesting too, right? To be there. But when you have to miss work and all that.
Well, when you're sitting in the jury pool room and it's like the whole day.
Yeah.
You know, you run out of books.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what else to do.
They're watching soap operas on the TV.
It depends. It depends what case you're in.
Yeah. Well, I've never been on one, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, so, Ilan, before we go on, I want to introduce your stuff because we always leave it for the end, but it's very fascinating. So let's dive into it. Ilan gets into, like, all kinds of audio. What, healing, would you say? How would you call it?
Well, I use, I'm a coach.
Okay.
I'm a mentor, a coach, and an empowerment speaker. And I work with everybody who is... is open to that. Mm-hmm. And what I say to that is I use sound as a modality to enter the your deepest parts and really work on communication, relationships, but the relationship between you and yourself first and then with the other.
Right.
So sound, I have here an example, a couple of Tibetan bowls.
Right.
And
those are bowls made of metal.
They're made of seven metals.
Okay.
And each metal has a frequency, and each frequency correlates to frequency of your energy systems in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And your body, each part of your body, like your liver, your heart, each organ has a frequency.
Right.
Now it's interesting. We are now in Judaism, we are this weekend, we are on a holiday where the holiday of receiving the Torah.
Right.
And back then, even there is a sentence in the Torah that says, "And they saw the sounds, and they heard the lights." And seeing sound is a frequency, but it also correlates to colors. And you can, when you come to certain states of certain state of energy honing in, you can actually see what you cannot see through your physical eyes.
Right.
And so we get into places where healing happens not just on the cellular level, not just on your to your body and to certain conditions that you might have, but more importantly, energetically. Because we know that, well, some of us know that physical illnesses are really manifestation of what's going on inside. As the Kabbalah says, a healthy spirit and a healthy body. Your spirit is healthy emotionally, then your body responds the same and reflects what's inside. So I use sound and Tibetan bowls and music and singing and different pronunciation of certain Hebrew letters, because it's Hebrew letters also, it's a sound and vibration, how they are being pronounced. So I use all these as a modality to hone your energy and to bring in to bring healing and then to go into coaching.
Right. And now, why Hebrew letters and not English so Jim could understand or something?
Well, Hebrew letters are Sfat HaKodesh, the language, the sanctified language. It was
the language of the Bible, the Torah.
Yes, but I'm not talking about the modern Hebrew. I'm talking about the ancient Hebrew, like the Assyrian Hebrew.
Right.
Each letter is a channel, is an energy channel that has an energy flow. Each name, a name of a person, each letter has a certain energetic flow from the infinite source, the infinite light.
Right.
As we can.
And that's like the mystical side of Judaism. That's what they call the Kabbalah. They start to look at like what makes the world work. You know, how does the world work? And Kabbalah is something that, for many years, for centuries, was not allowed to be taught to anybody who's not a man over 40. Anybody
under 40.
You can teach it
out under 40.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is if you are not a man over 40, you couldn't learn it. Yeah. So anyway, but there's some things that are very fascinating. So let's get into this a little bit rather than talking.
So yeah, so let's show us how it works. Let's have the sound. So what I'm going to do here, I have here a bowl that this bowl targets your solar plexus, and this is your third chakra. Chakra is an energy system in your body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it correlates to really the sefirot, the countings, as we say in Hebrew. In Kabbalah we have 10. And so your solar plexus really is your power, is your inner power. Who are you? What makes you? And so this vibration.
So he's banging on the ball.
So allow. Yeah. If you can find yourself to.
Tell me, does this go in the other room too, or is this staying here pretty much? I hope we're not bothering. Okay, so stop it. I don't want to like bother the people in the other studio.
No, they're gonna go.
What the fuck?
That's combat radio. You probably don't want to bother him.
It's very relaxing, as you can hear.
It is.
It's very relaxing. Yeah.
And so more so, if you give me your hand here. Put your hand here on the table.
Okay,
he's putting his hand on the table here, and I'm putting the bowl on the top.
The bowl is in my hand.
The bowl is in his hand, and tell me what you feel.
A vibration started at my palm and is running up my arm down through my midsection.
Exactly. Wow. And this is how the healing happens. When the frequency and the vibration flows through your body, that triggers healing.
Now it's like a big ball.
Exactly.
Right.
That is the center. He's pointing to his upper stomach, right?
Right.
And this is really where your solar plexus is. And when it congregates there, it starts activating your chakra and healing.
Wow, I could give you like all day to stop that.
Yeah. So but basically, so why don't you come? So Sunday, I'm going to have a Kabbalah sound journey. And how sound is tied into Kabbalah, basically, they are inseparable. Mm. It's all frequencies and frequencies of the letters, how we pronounce it, how we pronounce the letters. I will be talking about the letters, the importance. I will be having a meditative journey with sound. Right. And
so
it'll be in Venice.
When is it going to be?
Sunday in Venice. It's a studio called DePaz Energy, and it's in Venice, on Venice Boulevard.
Okay.
And
how can people find it?
So if you go to Facebook, facebook.com/bodysoulsound.
Okay.
Body Soul Sound, there you can sign up. It's a really cool experience. It's about 2 hours. And
sounds really cool great. So it's like what, like a workshop type of
it's
thing?
It's a workshop, it's an interactive workshop for some of it.
So how can people hope to benefit from this when they leave?
Well, they'll be more centered. They'll depends on each person. Each person is their own journey. But as I tell everybody, you never come out the same.
Right.
Nobody comes out the same. So you'll be in a place where we can either start doing some work, some coaching and some guidance, and some, or you're just in a place where you're just open to receive what is coming to you.
Right.
You're starting a healing process.
Yeah.
Whether you like
sounds
it or
good
not.
And then you can help people.
I have to tell you, right now my entire body is tingling. Yeah. It's actually moved up from my center and going down my right arm now.
Really?
And my
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And
it's
just
really
sound,
a weird feeling.
Huh? It is a
it doesn't feel bad. It just feels
it's
strange.
Weird because you're not familiar with it.
No, I'm not.
But once you're more familiar with it, you'll be more calm and really be able to.
And I assume that's a normal reaction.
Well, I don't like to use the word normal, but it is.
Yeah.
This is what. This is the intent,
uh-huh.
And this is what the sound is. This is and now really? the other bowl that I have is smaller, and that really correlates to your throat area.
Okay.
Now, why I brought these two bowls is because when somebody is not confident in themselves, and they don't speak their truth,
right,
and they go about their day following other people's stories, then they don't voice themselves. They don't voice their truth. So, but it starts from the stomach. It starts from the lower chakras, the lower energy systems, and the throat bowl helps you clear what you're not speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Clear
yeah.
your truth allows you to speak your truth, and together
right.
with coaching, it
let all the lies flow.
Well, what about just extremely competent liars like our president? You think this would help him? Because he really needs it.
Here we go to politics.
Oh, boy.
Now let me ask you, because I'm just an ignorant white boy. The idea behind using the original old Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it because of the letters and the pronunciations were more guttural than they are today? I don't think it has anything to do with that.
It's also using the Hebrew letters today, they're all correlating. It's all corresponding. The Kabbalah is written in Aramaic and in ancient other variations.
Mm-hmm.
But each letter is an energetic channel. And each letter also corresponds to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a reason why the letter Gimel, which is the third, comes after the letter Bet, which is, if you take the second letter, it sounds like a house, you know. So there is the third letter that runs out of the house to give comfort to the fourth letter, and there are a lot of stories.
There's a lot of stories.
It's not
I mean,
stories. It's
no,
not a story.
But let me
but
tell you something.
What it
is. No, but when I got into it, it's beautiful to think about it. That every letter like brings in energy from above,
it is, yeah, mm-hmm. energy.
And mm-hmm. a different kind of energy and stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm. you know
but there's also a question why, you know that. Well, I don't want to get into that, but it gets too deep, and I want to get into other
no,
things.
No, all I just say about this is the entire creation is encoded within the 22 alphabetic. The 22 letters of the alphabet Hebrew.
Okay, the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, gotcha.
Every and I can take like the word light. I can show you a lot of how things are manifested, and you will come to see. Say, oh, they talk about this today in yoga. Say, well, but everything stems from there. So there's a lot of, and this is what I'll talk in the workshop also, and I'll demonstrate it and.
Very interesting. Like. Very interesting stuff. And Jim, if you take just like pick up a book on Introduction to Kabbalah or something, mm-hmm. you'll see it's fascinating. You know, it's really fascinating because you're dealing with very ancient things, you know.
Sure.
And when you ask, well, what's the significance of Hebrew letters as opposed to Korean letters or something? Well, the thing is because if you accept the Bible as something that was sacred and was actually written by people, it doesn't have to be written by God. But the thing is, so you realize It's something that's got power, you know. It's the Bible is the book that sold the most around the world, and you know, translated or otherwise, you know. But
you know, but it's not about the Hebrew letter. It's not about the Bible. It's
how do you convince someone from another language that Hebrew is the one?
You see, the difference is that Hebrew is a language of essence. English, for example, is an expression of something. For example, take the word like you look at animals, chicken, grass, kukureku, right? The two letters that it pronounces is kuf and resh.
Right.
Everything is correlating one to the other. They can say only two letters, and why? Because their name reflects their pronunciation. A dog, for example, in Hebrew, called kelev, means he's all heart. And really, what is a dog? A dog takes on themselves our emotional state.
Right.
When we fight, they develop diseases. Why? Because this is what they absorb. So Hebrew is a language of an essence, of what is the essence of the meaning. Because it's all about meaning making. So what is the essence of the meaning? The meaning is what is in Hebrew. Other languages are derivatives. For example, there are many letters in words in English that actually correlates to Hebrew. Fruit, mm-hmm. perot, right? I mean, there are many letter words that come that are
well, yeah,
driven from that.
Then borrowed from Hebrew, but
languages.
English borrows from many languages. Yeah, yeah. But so if you guys like this and you want to get deeper, go to Ilan's workshop. Tell people again when it is and where.
It's Sunday, 4 p.m.
This
coming Sunday, May 20th.
In Venice, which is a very beautiful part of L.A.
It's a couple of blocks from Abbot Kinney there.
Very spiritual there, huh? Have you been there?
No. I've been to Venice.
Venice Beach here.
I've been to Venice when Venice was like, you didn't even want to walk down the boardwalk.
Yeah, no.
It was dangerous.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, how long
ago? We got to remember, I'm from California, so.
I know. Well, I've been here 40 years. I don't remember it being like
that. Oh, it was Venice at one time. The canals were filthy. They stunk. It was horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Now it's prime real
now
estate.
Now it's, I mean, everybody wants to live there. Yeah. Yeah. And they, all they have on the canals is like bungalows.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool because.
Well, but houses too.
Well, yeah, but the houses are bungalows. They're not real big.
Everybody's at your backyard.
Exactly. Exactly. Your front yard is a bunch
outside.
Of water.
Yeah. You can sit outside because it's.
And many people never realize there's actual canals here in Venice Beach, Venice City, actually. But they're kind of hidden. So
well, they were made to emulate Venice, Italy.
Yeah, really?
Venezia.
Isn't that why they call it Venice?
Yeah.
Because it has canals.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I have to ask, is there a Kabbalah for dummies?
Yeah.
Like a book?
Actually, I'm sure there is. But this is what I do with the people that I work with.
Okay.
We go through different things that will prepare you to dive in more. So it's really about perception.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can't just pick up a book.
You can.
No.
On Kabbalah
you can, but
dive in and really not understand what you're reading.
There are some things if you go deeper,
yeah.
You know, you have to have a prerequisite. Like you
sure.
don't go to the eighth grade before you finish the first, second, third, and fourth.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I think you're very open-minded. I think you might find fascinating.
I'm extremely open-minded.
I know. So I think you'll find it fascinating. Just get one for dummies. See if you like it. And if you do, get more into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know,
there was a time I studied this for a year, and it transformed my life.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's just interesting.
See, Kabbalah means in Hebrew receiving.
Okay.
Receiving? You have, in order to be able to progress, you need to be able to also learn how to receive,
uh-huh.
but not to receiving from the place of the egoic self. I want this, I want, but fulfilling the essence of the creation and the mm-hmm. creator, which is giving. In order to give, there need to be one that receives.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
To manifest the givanity, the giveness.
The givanity. Yeah. I like that one. The giving.
I like to invent words. Well, you know, the giving action of the giver.
Sure.
And then you are receiving, but you have to be in a place where you are receiving. When somebody doesn't get something, say, okay, well, you're not an instrument to receive now. You're not in a place of receiving. And in order to receive, you need to let go. So it's a whole process of experiencing and then understanding. Like Na'aseh Nishma, it's meaning in Hebrew it says we'll do and then we'll listen. That goes with the Jews for the beginning of time, but many people misconstrue that. It's not we'll do and then we'll listen. We'll do, but we want to understand. Mm. So sometimes we do the actions and we don't understand why we do them. So and then we, oh yeah, now I get that. Mm. Right? So it is experiencing sound or experiencing the letters or experiencing different perceptions, and then you can understand why the choices that you made are the choices that you made. That is why when you said in the beginning, oh, you probably about getting married, I said, no, I just was that person at that time. We tend to judge ourselves about our past with the eyes of today.
Yeah,
and right. We should,
that's true.
And that's all the time leads to a...
The metallurgy in these bowls, you say 7 metals. And there's a lot of metals that don't melt. I mean, they just don't go together.
Yeah, no, those are...
Tibetan?
Tibetan bowls.
Okay, so these are blessed bowls?
Yes.
They are. And there's how many... That you use in total.
There are different. You can have a room full of bowls with different frequencies.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. With this particular set, I use usually 10,
okay.
11, 7 that correlates to different energetic systems in your body, and other 4 that correlates to different that will trigger different frequencies, different reactions to the frequencies in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because actually our brain is an enormous, that's where the neshama, that's where the soul sits. We can create different frequencies that will trigger different actions.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to sleep better,
mm-hmm.
if you want to be more concentrating in your work,
mm-hmm.
you are, whatever you want to create for yourself, there is a frequency
mm-hmm.
that correlates in mm-hmm. your brain. And mm-hmm. once we create that frequency, either by a single ball or by 2 frequencies,
mm.
then the desired result comes out.
And then mixing the frequencies
creates a third frequency in your brain.
Got it.
In
Got
your
it.
Brain.
Got
so
it. Okay.
I will put, let's say, for example, 200 in one ear,
mm-hmm.
209 in the other ear, and your brain you'll start hearing in your brain 9 hertz. Now, technically, you cannot listen to 9 hertz with your auditory systems, with your ears, because we cannot hear
it's
below
too low.
20.
Yeah.
But suddenly you can hear 9.
Yeah.
Right? So this is how healing happens and rejuvenation happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And together with music and singing and words and coaching.
No dancing.
Guiding.
No.
We can absolutely dance.
No,
for sure. You can dance. You can dance. Dance the boogie.
If you can sit in a circle and bang drums,
no, you can
do
dance.
That too.
Actually, dance is very good.
So you have bowls that can pinpoint certain areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very but then you can mix them with other bowls.
It will pinpoint other areas.
Then right. And then that two together can go to like a shoulder.
Exactly. It depends on the person. So I will feel your energetic system and based on what we talk and where you are in life.
Right.
And then we'll go into an intuitive session. Mm. Every session is different. It's mm-hmm. never the same.
Now, I've had Reiki massage before.
Reiki, I do. Reiki.
And it's very interesting because they feel, without touching you,
mm-hmm.
they know where the problem areas are, and that's where they go.
Right. Yeah. Right. So basically, yeah, I do Reiki. I'm a Reiki practitioner as well. And our palms, actually, and this is all, again, stems from all Kabbalah, right? Everything is
Kabbalah.
Everything goes back.
I'm getting Kabbalah for Dummies right now.
Right, right. Okay. Except we're going, I don't want to spend the whole show, so let's do a couple more minutes because I want to do about other things as well.
Okay. Okay, right, but now, Ilana is holding my hand. And I got to say, it's kind of nice.
Oh, well.
I'm just ripping you one, don't
you? Yeah,
I forgot the ring.
That's a bromance.
So this is where the energetic system comes through our palm. Right hand, you know, again, it's meaning making. So right hand sends the energy, left hand receives. So I'm putting my right hand on your left energy, and you can start feeling.
I can't. You can start feeling the
warmth, and the warmth is the energy.
Yes.
And as we focus, we can allow and we can play with our mind.
Okay.
And ask the energy and move the energy wherever we want or wherever we need. And that starts.
Whatever you're doing, don't stop.
Really, you like it?
Truly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's not touching him, really.
No, he's not.
Yeah, and you're feeling something.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Elon, you see, you bought yourself another.
Well, he's a Reiki
follower.
Master, so that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Those people are highly trained, and they know what they're doing, and I have no clue.
Yeah. But listen, so this is fascinating, and we wanted to give you a taste of this. If you guys want to go, there's a lot more that Elon has in store for you. Check it out, and we'll plug it once again at the end so people will.
Then also the week after that, the next week, next Sunday, the 27th, we'll be here in the Valley at Follow Your Heart Studios. It's on Sherman Way. So we'll have also Follow Your Heart is a yoga studio of a really cool vegan restaurant. You like that? I know you like that.
Okay, so you guys can check it out. Go to your page again on Facebook.
Facebook.com/BodySoulSound.
Body Soul Sound. You can find out a lot more. And obviously, Jim is here. And Jim is a skeptic, but he seems to go along with
it. You're more
skeptic
than him.
About what?
Actually, I'm not a
No, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here.
I see.
Like I said, the stuff that he talks about, I got very deep into. It was 1996, and I was in Israel for a year. I went to the Kabbalah Center there. I learned a lot of stuff. It got me hungry into learning more and more, and I devoured books and talked to people and stuff. So, like I said, it transformed my life. There's no doubt. But sometimes I like to look at things the other way, and just to say that every culture, every religion, every language, every this, believe that they're the right ones, and the world works according to them. So all I'm saying is when you come as a Jew with the Kabbalah and you explain to people, well, look, this is in my language and it's the right one and my God is the right one, people are like looking, well, no, that's not what I was
Well, I'm
taught.
Not talking about God or faith. I'm talking about actual facts. Science actually catches up with Kabbalah every year that we go. For example, things about diseases,
But the letters, you say energy.
Because it is written in that language. It's a channel. And if we go through more and we have more time, we can look at each letter, at each frequency, what letter and how you pronounce it. You know, when you say your thought starts with your thought and then goes through your mouth and then you speak it.
Right.
The letters and the words, the way that you pronounce them, are creating a channel, a certain energetic
energy,
channel.
Just like the bowls.
Wow. Exactly.
Yeah. So okay, well, this is amazing, but I'm not a skeptic of you. I'm just saying I like to look at things from different point of views.
Well, I'm not a skeptic.
That's why,
I'm a pragmatist.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. And that's what. That's why I need to understand with you first, where do you stand politically on the spectrum? Are you on the right?
Me?
Yeah.
You're asking me.
I'm asking you.
I'm dead center.
You're dead center. That's what I thought, because I can never figure him out, you know? Sometimes he's conservative, sometimes he's liberal.
I believe in honest, fair government. And I believe in honest, fair representatives.
Right. But how do you get that? Do you get that with less than two parties or more than two parties? What do you think? Because obviously you're not happy with the way it is.
Well,
now.
I'm not happy with the way things are. But then people lie when they get, you know, they lie on their campaigns. They lie just to get elected.
Right. But that's not just Trump, right?
No, it's been going on.
In fact, Trump has been keeping
forever.
His promises, right?
Well, no, he's not keeping his promises.
He is. It's just not promises that you like.
It's not promises at all.
Why?
What has he done? What exactly is it that Trump has done?
The Iran deal. Okay.
Well, that wasn't
the
a good
China,
move.
The China thing. Why was not... Okay, so let's talk about why was that... Was that not a good move?
It was not a good move because the European nation or the European governments have told him, and over and over again, it may not be the best deal.
Right.
But it's working.
Right. But the thing is that why do we care what the other countries say so much?
Because we're a world population.
Yeah, we're a world power.
we're a world population. The entire world is in this together.
The world follows where America goes, I think.
Not necessarily right now.
I think it's still the case, you know. I mean, people look to America to protect the world from Russia, from China.
I think the leaders of the European Union right now are scratching their asses and going, what the fuck is he doing?
Right, but you know what? Who the fuck cares what they think, Jim?
Well, I do.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. So that's why you think it's the wrong thing to do. But the thing is, he's saving a lot of people. Because
I don't
the
get
thing
that,
is, why? Do you understand the deal? Do you understand that in a few years they can continue?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen when they actually reach a bomb? They will dominate.
Same thing that happens when North Korea got theirs.
What do you mean? No, but it's not the same, because let me tell you something. Iran has design on the entire Middle East. Iran has designs and said that it wants to destroy Israel, and it probably will do it to Saudi Arabia as well.
It sent 20 missiles last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
right. You know, from
to
Syria.
From Israel.
Well, that's
Israel,
not the first time they've... I mean, they've
right.
done that all
the time. So the thing Iran, is yeah. that I don't think anybody has any doubt that if the Iranians could, they would decimate and annihilate all the Jews. There's no question about it. So the thing is, do you let them even near something like that? You know what I'm saying? So,
but
and
by
what
pulling
I'm saying,
out
it's
of
not
the
just
deal,
Israel.
By pulling
and
out of the deal,
yeah.
it opens a door for Iran to do it anyway.
No, but they are doing it anyway.
There's nothing to stop them now.
But they are doing it anyway.
But there's Jim, nothing to stop them now.
No, but the thing is, we could put back the sanctions on them and really squeeze them. Elon, what do you think for a second?
You know, it's never going to end. In the way, in the sense when I say that, it's never going to end. The conflict is never going to end, because the conflict will bring more conflict. I usually don't go into politics, but I will say that the history shows that Iran is, and similar, words are not important to them, because I mean, if they're able to put their if they're able to put children as barriers in different parts
Talk
of children into as barriers before bombing, so they're not going to have much respect for words. You know, the thing is that you have. You're talking about Europe, and what happened in Europe, actually, they're being devoured by a culture that is an oppressive culture, and they're afraid to say something. Because now, because it's too late, so to speak, they're afraid to say something, so their countries, I mean, look at England, look at France.
They're being overrun,
they're
really.
They're
being overrun
over.
By Muslims, and many of them extreme.
It could have been it could have been other cultures. I mean, it happened to be Muslims. I mean, and the reason it's like that is because this is how they handle things, this culture. It could have been another culture. But, you know, you just need to wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, what happened after 9/11? Everybody ran to Israel. Why? Everybody looked to Israel. Why? Because Israel proved again that the things are being done right in certain ways. You know, nobody when Bush invaded Iraq, nobody talked about that.
Which Bush?
The
second one.
The second one. Nobody talked about that. Actually, the reason Iraq didn't have anything is because in 1981, Israel bombed the nuclear reactors of Iraq.
Right.
Nobody talked about
right.
that. Never.
Right. No, they don't talk about a lot of things. You know what? I'm going to CNN today on the front page, CNN.com. Not a single story on what's going on in the Middle East right now. You know? And so, but I just want to find out where Jim stands, because I always love when you come back here, and I want to know in which direction to take the conversation.
Take it in the direction you want.
No, I'm saying, but like, for example, that belief that other countries are more important than what we think is a liberal
That's
leftist
not a belief
thing.
Of mine.
No?
No.
But so why do you care so
All
much
I said
about
is
the other
they matter
countries?
Because everybody in this world is in this together.
Right, but nobody has the power to influence anybody like America does, and it's still the case.
But right now, America doesn't have the power to influence themselves.
What do you mean?
They just, right now we're so divided in this country that nobody can make a decision
right.
about anything.
Right. But this has happened in the past. Many
not,
years
not this bad.
But the thing is, that's how this government is set up. We have two sides, you know, to every, yeah. two sides to every coin.
Well, yes, but it's you not know? Always been, it's not always been such a caustic arena
right.
as it is now.
Right. Okay, so how did we come to here? How did we get here?
Well, I don't know.
Slowly.
Yeah.
yeah, right?
It's been in a matter... Yeah, it's not... didn't happen yesterday.
It's not happening right. overnight, these things. I'm not saying it whether I agree or not. I'm just you know, because I don't really talk politics
it's like,
because it's all fear and all...
But it's all opinions and nobody you know? Changes anybody's
Well, that's
minds,
the deal. Know? See, but all the right and the left stand up there and they bitch and they moan, and but you know what? Nobody does anything.
Right, right.
It's exactly the point I made last night on What the Fuck Radio.
Yeah.
Everybody stands up in the middle of Congress, Democrats, Republican, doesn't matter, Congress, Senate, doesn't matter. They all stand up and say, well, by God, we got to do something because these guys are getting away with murder and blah, blah, blah. Who does right. anything? Nobody.
Right.
Then they sit back down. That's it. They said their piece.
Yeah.
Nobody mm. does anything. They leave mm. it up to the little Joe Schmo, podunk voter.
Right.
To tell them what they want to do, and then they don't do it.
But everything is really, I mean, you get the sense that you have a power to change anything, but all this voting system is really...
Yeah, it is. It's well, it's ridiculous, our voting system. We need to get rid of the Electoral College.
There's really not. You get they tell you that you... to make you believe that you
that
think that you have
counts.
The power, but everything yeah. it's not...
You see, if you take away the Electoral College, what you're going to get is the big cities... Not even states, okay, but the big cities where all the liberals are concentrated, that's what you're going to get, you know, because that's why they have the Electoral College. So smaller states would have just as big a voice or important a voice
well, they
as
did
California.
Because of the slave, the southern states
yeah.
didn't have the population that the northern states had.
Right.
So in a national election, what they did was they gave the slave owners and the plantation owners
okay.
1.5 votes per slave.
Okay.
So if they had like 300 slaves, that's like 500 votes.
Right.
That's a lot of votes.
I see what you mean.
They tried to equalize the voting in all the states.
Right. But let's make sense of it now
today
for a moment.
Work.
It doesn't work anymore.
But why? Look, the thing is this. Let me tell you why it does work. Like for me, for example, if you want to vote conservative in California, you might as well stay home because it's going to be Democratic no matter what you do in California. So it's a foregone conclusion. Now, if it weren't like that, okay, what am I trying to say? That a system where it's all the liberals are concentrated in the big cities. If you look at the map of the voters in America, it's like all red except New York, San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., you know, Miami, those are the liberal areas, but they have more power, more say-so than the rest of the
country.
Well,
yeah, but it is not a really true representation of
no.
what is going on.
That's what I'm saying. So
how can you prefer that?
Well, but that's what I'm saying, because these are like the majority of the people, and they're taking the direction of the country, and the smaller states in the middle have no say.
Actually, well, that's not necessarily
state in the middle
true.
Of the Bible Belt, they have a very strong
say.
They
have a huge say.
Well, yeah, but look how many states it takes to just have, you know, like a rightist view. I mean, you got to look. When you look at the map, you'll see what I mean. It's all red, and then you have blue dots.
Right.
Around the
but, you know, part of the problem, and you hit on it a few minutes ago when you said if you wanted to vote conservative— you know, you were pretty much screwed in California.
Right, right.
But see, not all Republicans are conservatives. A lot of Republicans are middle of the roaders. The same thing is not all Democrats are liberals. A lot of Democrats are middle of the roaders. Mm. So to if you're a voting Republican or Democrat, it's not fair to you, especially if you're not a conservative, old uber conservative, to be called a conservative, because that's not what you are.
But you're not an uber conservative. I mean, there's like a spectrum of conservative or liberal, you know, it's not like black and white.
Well, no, it's not, but it's not
a place on the spectrum.
Exactly, it's not black and white.
Right.
It's not black and white. Right. There's a lot of gray in there.
So now, to be in the center, does that mean that you follow some beliefs that are liberal and some that are conservative?
I think there's some policies the Republican Party has that I agree with, and I think there's some policies the Democrats have that I agree with.
Right.
I think there's a lot of independent policies.
So how do you,
I agree
how
with.
Do you how do you solve that of that polarity?
You know what? At this point, you can't
take the borders down.
Yeah, no, but I tell you, there's no better system than the democracy. That's why we're able to sit here and criticize it. But it really works. I mean,
well,
why does everybody come to America, Jim? Because we're the light, you know.
When I was in the Army, this is what we used to say. This is the most fucked up country in the world, but it's still the best game in town.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, if you want to know what's the best place to be, look where everybody's trying to go to. I mean, look, we have to push people out so they don't overrun us here. And, you know, and then what happens is we just have to close our borders where, you know, we isolate everybody and... You know, nobody's happy. So I just think this is the best. My thing is, this is the best country, my view. The best country in the world by far. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe that without America, you wouldn't have a balance in the world. There's too much evil going on, you know. Nobody would fight the Russians, the Chinese, the communists at the time. The Germans, the Nazis, you know, who was the Japanese? Who was there to save the world every time?
Well, I mean, come on, the States also waited. The U.S. waited a long time before they dealt with Germany. Just
okay,
because
but
it
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Door,
but you know, so. But Britain, if you saw the movie Darkest Hour, you saw that. I mean, Britain or Dunkirk, Britain was at the point of almost surrendering or giving up, you know, it was that bad.
That's when they start going in because
right.
they start knocking on their door.
Right.
So,
right. But
otherwise they wouldn't stand up.
But it's also because the Japanese drew us into the war because the whole thing was to not get involved in other people's problems. Once we were involved, then the Nazi problem was obviously a big deal and a priority. You know,
the Nazi problem was a lot bigger than Japan.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I guess that's what it took to draw the U.S. in.
Because they would have taken the Western Hemisphere, then they would have gone after Japan.
But I'm just saying, anybody that doubts America's power, just look at who came in every time and saved the day, man. That's all I can say.
Man.
We're John Wayne, you better believe it or not.
Man.
See, we totally internalized America.
We have one phrase in Italian that just says, "Ah, oh, vaffanculo."
What's that with my ass?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yeah. All right, Ilan Azulay, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you so
us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be
tell
here.
Tell people
every
again
time.
How they can contact you directly if they want to.
Facebook.com/BodySoulSound. This Sunday at Venice at DePaz Energy. It's on Venice Boulevard, a couple of blocks from Abbot Kinney. You know, I don't remember the number exactly.
Sounds great. If you want a spiritual weekend, that's a place to go. Ilan, obviously, very fascinating man. A lot to offer.
These bowls are awesome.
Yeah, right?
Well, the big one. I didn't get the small one. The big one there.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Well, I'm going to check it out because the small one, you said, works for the throat.
The small one is for the throat.
Yeah.
This particular larger one is for your solar plexus, your belly.
Okay, sounds good. And Jim Christina,
tell us
how they can find you.
They can find me on Facebook at... actually, they can go to Facebook.com/WritersBlockRadioShow. They can go to /JimChristina. They can get me on my email, JimChristina@yahoo.com.
There you go. So there's a way to find him if you want him. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.